welcome to W Rated, the show where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on this year's Road to Razzies, our annual season of episodes looking at the nominations for the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards 2024. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host and editor Claire. Claire, would you like to tell us which film we're talking about this episode?
Today we are talking about Five Nights at Freddy's, which has just one nomination in the Worst Supporting Actress category for Mary Stuart Masterson as Aunt Jane. It's a horror film based on a video game franchise. It was pretty hated when it came out. So I wasn't paying attention when I watched it, in that I didn't look up what it was nominated for until I finished watching it, and was really surprised that that's what it was nominated for, based not on my opinion of the film, but based on the opinions I had heard of the film. And then also on my opinion of the film, I was like, really? That was the performance that annoyed you? She was in like three scenes. Why are we mad at her? What's wrong? Like,
This is a really bizarre one. Yeah. Really, really bizarre one for me, because I absolutely agree with you. I saw the film after the initial sort of people kind of pushing back against it, not liking it and everything. So I ended up quite enjoying it because my expectations were so low. I've never played the games. I had no sort of link to that. And unfortunately, I said I was fine hearing my friends talk about, because they really didn't like it and they really loved the games. So they told me a few details. So like, I kind of knew, spoilers, I knew about children being the bears, basically. God, people are going to be like up in arms about me describing it like this. The children's spirits or ghosts were in the animatronics.
Right, I was confused. Were their actual bodies also in there?
It infers, this is the other problem, it's that in the video game, I'm 90% sure that that is what happens in the lore.
Because they're like, they searched the place and they never found the bodies. But then what dog wouldn't smell a rotting corpse in an animatronic bear?
Well, this is it. It's like, how much of it is them just skirting around it and bad writing versus they've changed the lore? But I'm pretty sure they hinted quite strongly in this film that was the case as well, right?
Yeah.
And I think that links quite nicely to the fact that the reason people didn't like it so much probably is the choice to make it a 15 or 12 rather than an 18 or whatever it was. I don't know how gruesome the actual game is, but it certainly evokes frightening imagery, like, especially, you know, having kids and everything. So I know that was a lot of people's sort of response to that. So yeah, really shocked that this was the nomination they went for. It was almost as if I didn't now know that it was a balloted thing, I would assume that they felt like they had to put a nomination in there, but everything else was so much worse that they just... I thought it was the supporting actress alongside, what's his name?
Peter.
Yeah, but like his actual name.
Just so you thought it was Elizabeth Flail, the police officer?
I really didn't like her in this until it unraveled about who she was and why she was acting like it. Because I get not revealing character motivation, but it was so, like, I don't understand how it didn't play out as a character would interact with her based on what she was doing.
Yeah.
It was just, she was coming in, she was interfering, she was being really over the top. She was just like, and it made sense why, but the character just sort of let her do that and didn't ask any questions. And I was like, oh, is this bad acting or is this bad writing? And it turned out that it was bad writing, because it made sense when it was revealed who she was and why she was doing those things, but his reaction to her and their relationship didn't make sense to me. So I thought maybe it was her, and then when I looked up and saw it was the aunt, I was like, who? The woman that was in it twice?
It was
for
a very
2 minutes?
Caricatured performance, but she only had like 3 minutes of screen time, so it had to be caricatured. You had to understand why this man, who clearly hates his sister and hates his life and is not coping, does not want a loving, caring aunt to take his sister. So she has to be a comic villain to
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to say. It's a bit of comedy, to be honest. It's chewing the scenery a bit so that it provides a little bit of levity in between what's supposed to be quite dark, horrific stuff. And you need to kind of... It's a shortcut to getting you on his side because he's not... A typical hero, you know, the stuff about he's struggling with having been partially, not completely really, but partially responsible, according to his parents, for his brother going missing, which should never have been his fault. That's the whole thing.
Don't leave
about
children
story, which
in
I
charge
liked.
Of children. It's not fair. Yeah. They are children as well.
Yeah, there was... I think there was another show that I watched recently that had that, and it really gets me. I really don't like that. But it's good because that's the emotion you're supposed to feel, right? So that was really interesting. I really like that side of things. I think he just does okay. I think for something like this, I would have liked it dialed up a little bit. He does it understated, which is fine, but I think I would have liked a little bit
more. Actually really enjoy... I don't know if it's because I love Hunger Games and I love Peter, like, if there was just some overhang, but I actually really enjoyed his performance. I thought he was doing good. I believed him as the character. I don't think he had... I think you're right, definitely could have been much more dialed up. I don't think he had enough to work with to dial it up anymore. I think,
yeah, and I don't know if it's because the absurdity of the concept kind of made me think, oh, we're going in, and because of the feedback originally of people not liking it, I was like, oh, we're going in for like a campy kind of time, and it wasn't that, and that's fine. But then it was a drama, and that's really interesting, and I liked that about it. As I say, had some issues with the supporting actresses because I think she was up here. I'm putting my hand high, and he was playing it a lot more introverted and introspective and grounded, and it didn't match for me. I think he needed someone who was doing what the character said to do. Come in, be a bit weird, be a bit... I don't know why she's doing this. She's kind of completely crossing boundaries. She's being quite histrionic. She's doing all of this stuff. But she was playing for the back of the room a little bit more than he was. And I think that's why it didn't gel for me.
The performance that I don't want to nominate in. I don't think it deserves nominating. But Matthew Lillard. Now, I love Matthew Lillard. I love Scream. I love Scooby-Doo. I love him in Good Girls. I think he's wonderful. But he was on screen for 4 seconds. And it was like, he's a bad guy, he's a killer. He was so like, oh, I'm a villain. Like, he needed...
He was so twisting the moustache.
Did he have a moustache? Because I feel like he almost... Yeah,
I don't think so.
Because I could feel it twisting.
He might as well.
I was like, that man is the killer, straight up. And then I was like...
I called it as well.
When Elizabeth Vale came in, I was like, she must be in some way related to him. Like, that's the only way she's that interested. So, is there something... Matthew Lillard is coming back and it's something to do with her.
And I think because... I can't see now. I can't remember if I was smart enough to make those connections. But I did know... Because I knew some of the lore, I think I did... I started looking out or noticing things that maybe I wouldn't have before. But 100%, as soon as the conversations they were having about this job came up, because he was like the job... He was like the job centre guy, right?
Yeah.
There was something he said... Where I was like, oh, right, he owns the place then.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember if I made the connection to what happened with the animatronic he kind of is. I can't remember how much I knew or how much I read about after, but it definitely got to a point in the film where I was like, oh, that's that guy.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think I made the connection with her, and I think that's why it didn't work for me as much, but you shouldn't, if it's meant to be a mystery.
See, I was just like, she's definitely in on it. I was like, I don't know how she's in on it, but she's definitely in on it.
Yes, I got a little bit more of the vibe that she was maybe sinister versus trying to protect him. But again, I wasn't sure. So she didn't do too bad a job. The writing wasn't too bad, but it just didn't... I was sitting there going, why is she acting like this? Why is she acting like this?
Yeah.
The whole time it kind of was like, is that what... I don't quite think that that's what they want me to feel.
Yeah. I actually had a fun time watching this. I didn't think it was great, but I didn't think it was bad. I wouldn't have chosen to watch it other than for this. But actually, I think because I'd heard just such hatred for it, I really didn't know what I was getting. And I was like, that was a really nice drama. I was really rooting for Josh Hutcherson. I think I really bought into him. And I was like, I want him to get a nice job and have a nice house and get over his weird insomnia stuff and forgive himself for what happened to him. So I really bought into him. I think I was sad. I would have liked a lot more of the animatronics. And yes. I felt like they were scared to show them for some reason. And I think there was
because of the rating.
No, but not even the violence, just actually the animatronics. Like, I just didn't feel
usually
like...
I'd agree that that's good because you want a bit of mystery. But yeah. once you've seen them, right?
Yeah, so... and I just felt that they could have done more with them. But yeah, like, the rating really hampered it. And as someone who doesn't know the franchise, other than I used to have some students that played it and it always looked a bit creepy, that didn't bother me. But I have been fans of franchises and books and things and seen them destroyed in adaptations, Darren Shan being the most egregious one to me.
Oh my god, Darren Shan!
I loved those books.
I didn't know that I'd been... I didn't end up reading them, I don't think, but I knew so many people that read them. And I didn't realise that I'd been adapted.
So yeah, those books go really dark and they get really gruesome and they could be adapted to a really good 15. And I think it was adapted to a PG, like not even a 12. But they also just wrote out characters, wrote in new characters, took out all of the sinister tension. Like, it's a book
it's like,
which
why are you even adapting something at this stage?
The main character dies in the first book. Like, that's how kind of dark they begin. Yeah. And so I can imagine my anger at that adaptation is how a lot of the Five Nights at Freddy's people felt about this. So whilst I don't agree with them, I can completely understand where it's coming from.
Yeah, I just looked, it is actually 15. I'm not, but to me, I'm like, they could have pushed that 15 more.
I wonder if that's only in the UK though.
It is, it's PG-13 in America.
Yeah.
Is that there are 12?
Yeah. But we obviously get a higher rating. Because we have, so the BBFC's big thing at the moment.
We have stricter stuff around children, don't we?
I think so, because their big thing at the moment is sexual violence and sexual content. But I think they still have quite high ratings when it comes to children.
Which is fair.
Yeah, it is fair. But then if they were getting a 15, they could have obviously put so much more in. But because of the states, they were going for the PG-13.
And I think that's the thing as well. It's all of these little... This is why I love having these discussions, because it's all these little nuances about stuff that really just tell you what's happened with these films, because it's a 15 here based on certain elements... But people see 15, they think, I'm going to see a lot of blood. I'm going to see a lot of violence. And it's actually just because there's children involved, probably.
Yeah, BBFC have gone far more concept than visual in their ratings in the last
psychological
few years.
Stuff.
Which I think actually isn't fair. Wrong. Yeah. Sometimes I get annoyed about it, but sometimes I don't.
And then internet's borderless, fine. But who... apart from people like us, cares to compare certifications on films. Most people go to the cinema and they're like, that looks good. Or they see a 15. Oh, okay, I know what to kind of expect versus like a kid's film. Because it's animatronics at the end of the day. Some parents probably looked and went, oh, is this a kid's film? Oh, no, it's not. Like Poor Things being an 18, I knew that it was an 18. I was like, oh, okay, I know what kind of thing to expect. No one's going to know. I saw Poor Things before it was rated.
I was very shocked. I had not anticipated that level of nudity.
And I've met Emma Stone. I was like, I feel like I've seen too much. but no one's going to sit there and go, it's a 15 in the UK, PG in America. I'm going to set my expectations.
Yeah.
So I think that probably had a big thing to do as well.
But they are doing a sequel because it made buck.
Are they?
In January 2023, in an interview on a podcast, Lillard revealed he had signed a free picture deal. And in 2023, now that was with the studios, so not necessarily for these films. And in January 2024, Hutchison revealed a sequel is in development. Because it did make...
I would be interested to see it.
I would be interested to see it, because it did make a lot of money. So, oh yeah, so guess what budget it had? Less than Magic Mike.
I'm terrible. What was Magic Mike? 60, 40?
40 something.
I don't know, 2025?
Yeah, they said 20 million, so it had half the budget of Magic Mike's Last Dance. And to be honest, I actually think this was probably a little bit better. This made at the box office $294.5 million.
Nice.
So that is like, what? Just a lot of fucking money. They are now developing a sequel.
The animatronics were based in practical, right?
They looked it, yeah.
And then obviously the things where they like run really quickly.
Yeah, I liked the animatronics, which is why I think I just wanted to see more of them. I would have liked them to use them more creepily. Because, like, the sequence where the nosy neighbour people go in and get murdered, there was some good stuff there, but it was a shame. You could see where they'd had to make cuts for the rating, and, like, you see the violence through shadows. But I thought what they were doing was actually not bad. They were just constrained by limitations.
And what I would say is it's a good gateway horror.
Yeah.
For people.
I thought it was a lovely gateway horror. I feel like I could have watched this at a sleepover at like 11 or 12 and had a fun
time. It does do the drama thing nicely. Yeah. You've got the dream stuff, which is kind of creepy.
There was a bit too much dream stuff, to be honest. I did get to the point where I was like, if I go back to this fucking field one more time.
Well, that's the problem. I think they've focused on that rather than being in the whole game is that you're stuck in that building.
And I thought that could have been much more interesting.
And I think that is also what people are bothered about. But I get it. Like, you've got, if you're constrained in a video game by certain stuff, fine. But you've got to bring that essence through still. And it kept cutting to him leaving the fucking, which I get because it's like each night you do come back. I don't know. I've not played the game. But at some point you're trapped. And I don't know. It kind of just used it as a bit of a, not a backdrop, because it was integral to the story, but it just didn't have the claustrophobia which I expected.
Which is why I think I'd be interested in a sequel if they could lean into that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder, like, I know Josh Hutcherson has been... you just said that he's been...
it's in development, so...
But I'd be interested to actually have it lean into like the next security guard coming in and he's there and he's like as a supporting actor, but it's leaning a lot more into the horror side of things maybe, but I don't know.
But yeah, no,
I liked the drama bit, so who knows.
Yeah, I found it like watchable. I think, like, I've spoken, like, some of the other films we've discussed, again, I don't know how we're going to release these in what order, but like I've spoken about during Fast X, I had to pause it at least 3 times out of anger. In Ghosted, I paused it a couple of times I didn't pause. It was Magic Mike. I paused at least twice out of boredom to go into my house.
What do you do when you pause? Do you just
sit there and go? I leave the room and go and talk to Jenny.
And count to 10.
Like, in Magic Mike, I went into Jenny. I was like, I'm so bored. This film is never ending and it's so stupid. And then I had a little chat to her and talked to the cats and maybe got a snack. And then we went back in and did another 40 minutes.
Right.
Whereas this, I watched all the way through. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was watchable. And I would let...
It was serviceable.
I'd let my nephew watch it.
I think it's a well-made, mid-budget horror. I think the main characters are good.
Yeah.
The performance, it's serviceable. It's good. It's good across the board, I think. Yeah. Which is surprising because of...
It's not much more than a 3-star.
I think I gave it 3.5 last year, but this is actually one of those times where I think I probably would keep it the same, just because I did actively like it. I didn't just like the kind of thing I'm going for now is 3-star is probably things where I like elements, but I couldn't say for certain that I liked the whole film. Whereas I think 3.5 is like, no, actually, do you know what? As a whole, I did like it. I didn't really like it, but
3.5 for me is, would I rewatch it?
Why would we rewatch this?
I wouldn't really. I wouldn't. If someone made me watch it, I wouldn't be angry, but I wouldn't choose to rewatch this either. That's my
line. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Do you know what? And I think that's just an indication of the kind of drivel I've put myself through in the last few years, to be honest. Honestly, something's got to change. I was watching, I do the same for TV shows, which is even more out of control because obviously a new TV show every week is just completely unachievable. And we've got Paramount Plus because we were watching The Curse. And so I decided to carry on watching Halo because I'd watched some episodes on the way to my dad because it was on the plane. And Stephen walks in and goes, you could be watching The Boys. You could be watching this. You could be watching that. And you're watching this. And I looked at him and went, I know I've got a problem. I've got a problem. There is a problem with me. Hi.
Well, the problem we have to discuss is poor Mary Stuart Masterson. Don't know why she's here, doesn't deserve it.
That's why we've not spoken about her, Ben, because it's just so in such an insignificant part.
Yeah, and it's just bizarre because so far in our recordings of these, the only other supporting actress nom that's come up is Lucy Liu in Shazam, and we felt like that was because that film got a lot of nominations. So maybe Five Nights at Freddy's got a lot of nominations, but it just didn't make the shortlist, and this is the only one that somehow got through because a lot of the other films have more men than women. I don't really know. I don't know why she's here.
Like maybe, that's a good point.
Maybe people hated the film, but not the film. And so it made the long list in all the categories, but it didn't make any of the short lists, and somehow this one accidentally snuck in. But yeah.
And also maybe people, these Razzie members aren't watching enough films with women in.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And but that's also not their fault, because people don't really make as many films with women.
Hey, Barbie had so many women.
Don't even get me started on Barbie and the Oscars discourse. I really can't.
I fucking love Barbie. It's my favourite film of the year, and I don't want to be involved in that discourse. I'm just like, I really just like this movie, and I enjoy watching it, and so I enjoy pink.
So tiresome. That's why we like to focus on these ones instead. There's enough people talking about the Oscars.
Yeah.
There's enough.
Yeah. But yeah.
They don't need us to.
Undeserved, and not a bad movie. My most enjoyed so far.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I fucking hated Fast X. And I didn't rewatch Ant-Man or Shazam, actually. So I probably would have enjoyed them more, but I didn't rewatch them.
I probably wouldn't have said I enjoyed them more.
I think I gave them similar ratings. So, and then hated Ghosted, hated Last Dance, and don't really even remember what else. Oh, and The Exorcist. Didn't like that either.
Last Dance. So I'm just looking at my rank list from last year, which doesn't have some of the newer ones that I've watched. But Last Dance is last. Quantumania is in the bottom 10. Shazam's just above it. Ghosted is 4 above that, so in the bottom 15. And then the fact that I can't even find it means it's got, oh no, Five Nights at Freddy's is mid to near the top. It's 10, 20. Okay, it didn't break the top 20, so literally in the middle.
I gave Quantumania 3 stars as well, so I probably would put them about the same. But I gave Sham 3.5 because Adam Brody Die Hard. So, yeah.
I put Five Nights at Freddy's next to Pain Hustlers.
Oh, I put that on for 3 minutes and turned it off.
I quite liked it.
I just decided not.
And You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah.
I heard that was decent.
Which was cute.
Yeah, my housemate really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
There we go. Cool.
Love how we like barely spoke about her, but there's nothing to say. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we hope you can join us for another mini episode as we tackle another Razzie-nominated film on our road to Razzies 2024.